For my brother Esau is an hairy man, but I am a smooth man. That will be our text this morning. Good morning to you. You'll find it in Genesis 27:11. That will be our text. But first, I want to just say how nice it is for Anona and I to be here. We're thrilled to be back, albeit for a short while. And it's good to see friends that we know and friends that we've not yet met. So thank you for your welcome. I want to bring you greetings from the pastors and churches that we work with in Uganda. You know, when we told them that we were coming home, every single one of them said, send our greetings to your church. And so I'm bringing you those greetings this morning. There's too many for us to mention. Have we got a picture? Have we? Can you see that? I bet you're wondering why that picture is there. Who is this person and what's she doing here this morning? Well, her name is Margaret. And normally during the week in Uganda, we will be speaking every evening, you know, maybe 3 to 5 evenings a week. And then most Sundays I'll be preaching somewhere. And I couldn't do it without Margaret, because Margaret is our interpreter. She comes wherever we go. I would say 95% of the time she's with us. And actually, I don't feel right being here speaking without Margaret being here. And but Margaret is an interpreter. She's not just an interpreter. And as an example, I would say, you know, I would say something like, a man went out to sow his seed. And Margaret would say, a man went to his garden to dig and to plant his maize. See, you see, it's a simple thing, same thing, but she puts it into context so that people understand what we're saying. So I told Margaret she'd be on the stage with us this morning, and she sends her greetings too. So say hello, Margaret.
Hello.
Ah, see, don't you feel silly saying that to a picture? So we come back to our verse. And actually, in the NIV, it says, but my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin. And as I was coming here this morning, I was thinking about that. And I'm thinking, many times we'd rather be someone else. Many times we think, I'd like to be like that person or like that person. To give you an example, I mean, it's a couple of years since I've spoken here. But when I did speak previously, I used to think, I wish I could speak like Mike, you know, because Mike has this great depth of Bible knowledge, and Mike is obedient to God, Mike loves the Lord. I wish I could speak like Mike, but I'm not Mike. And then I used to think, I wish I could speak like Paul Evans. I used to think, I love listening to Paul, because he always manages to bring in 3 or 4 of his life situations and up-to-date life situations into his preaching. And I thought, I'd love to be like that, but I can't because I'm not Paul. And I used to think sometimes, I'd love to be Pete Coles. Love to be Pete Coles, because not because he used to poke fun at himself, or not because he used to poke fun at the lovely Louise, but I know that Pete is a deep-thinking man. And if you know Pete, he thinks deep things about his Bible study. And I'm afraid I'm not like Pete either, so all you got was me, I hope. But and when God called us to Uganda, he said, I want you to go and teach discipleship. And then, but my argument with God was, well, there's 2 things wrong there. First, I don't think I'm a good teacher. And the second thing is, I'm not sure I'm a good disciple. So, but God said, go to the place I put you, and I'll teach you those things. And that's what we found, I think. Well, I hope, anyway. So we went to Uganda, and I found there that I didn't hear one preacher that I wished I was like. You know, because they're very different to preachers here. And I couldn't be like that. Nobody really inspired me. And so I had to be me when I spoke. When I preached, I had to be me. I think God released me to be me, and he gave me the freedom to say things there and to preach there in a way that perhaps I would feel restrictive in being here. And so he gave me a lot of freedom. And so I praise God for that. And the reason I'm saying this thing is that when we're in the place God wants us to be, there we will find our freedom. There we will find our real us. And there we will find the blessing. Amen? Amen. So, that verse that I read about my brother Esau, it comes from the story, you know the story, about Jacob stealing Esau's blessing. And I'm not going to read that whole chapter now, but basically Esau and Jacob are the sons of, who are they the sons of? Isaac and Rebekah, that's right. And the Bible tells us that Isaac was old and he was blind. And he thought his days were near when he would die. And he wanted to pass on his blessing to his eldest son, Esau. And so he called Esau to him. He said, "Go out into the fields, kill some game, make me some of that tasty food that I like. And then when you come back and I've eaten it, I'll give you my blessing." But Rebekah, whose favorite was Jacob, overheard all this. And she said to Jacob, "Just go and kill me two young goats and I'll prepare him his tasty food. And before your brother comes back, you can get the blessing." And so Jacob said, "But my brother Esau is an hairy man and I am a smooth man." But she overcame that as well by dressing his arms and his neck with goat skin. After all, their father could not see, but he could touch and he could smell. So she dressed Jacob in Esau's clothes. She went and killed. He went and got the goats. She cooked the food. Jacob gave the food to his father. His father was a little suspicious, but once he felt and smelt Jacob, he accepted him as Esau and gave him the blessing. You know this story. But what's this story really about? Well, this part of the story anyway, it's about deception. Jacob was deceiving his father who was blind. Why do we deceive? Why did he deceive? There are three reasons that I can think of, and you can perhaps think of more, as to why we would deceive anybody. One is, the first reason is for tangible things, to gain money, to gain property, to gain possessions. The second one is for prestige. We could deceive people into thinking that we're somebody that we're not in order to gain popularity or to gain kudos. And the third reason I can think of is control. We can deceive people so that we have control over people. We have control over business. We have control over power. You know, and sadly, in some churches, there is even a battle for control through deception. I don't think this is one such church, but we've seen it in some churches. Jacob wanted all of these things. He wanted all that was due to Esau. Being part of God's plan was not on Jacob's mind at all. I'm not even sure that he knew God for himself at that time. And actually, when I read this story, I have this picture of a reckless young man, you know, just grabbing all he can get, something like the prodigal son. But actually, Jacob wasn't like that at all. At the time this event occurred, and I've read deeply into it, a lot of scholars would say that Jacob was about 70 years old when this happened. You know, where most of us will be thinking of other things at 70 years old. But Jacob was thinking how he could grab hold of wealth and possessions and position. And I'm not sure that he even knew God. He referred, when he was speaking to Isaac, he referred to God as your God, not my God or our God, but your God. Later on, he refers to God as the God of my grandfather Abraham and the fear of my father Isaac. He doesn't refer to him as his own God until he's about 90 years old. Isn't that amazing? So the Jacob we're reading of here is a very worldly Jacob. And he's different from his brother. You know, Esau was a hunting, shooting, and fishing man. Or he would be if he was here today. Is that right? But the Bible tells us Jacob stayed amongst the tents. I can imagine him today, can't you, with his iPad and his stocks and shares and his scheming his next business move and how he can take control of this and control of that. I imagine that would be Jacob today. So he deceived his father to get what he thought would be his. But he didn't deceive his heavenly father, whom he didn't really know. And you know, Jacob came from a long line of deceivers. If you read the stories in Genesis, Abraham was capable of deception. Isaac was capable of deception. Rebekah was capable of deception. And so, you know, perhaps it followed on that Jacob would be a deceiver also. But actually, we don't read that Esau was, but there again, the story is not about Esau, it's about Jacob. But deception, I believe, is in all of us. We are all capable of it. We may not all practice any deception, but each one of us is capable of deception. And I believe that's especially true today in the church. You can shoot me down if you like, but I believe that there are many people in the church in the UK today, and we've also seen it in Uganda, there are many people who would call themselves Christians. But if Jesus was to come back today, I think they would be found wanting. I think they would be found amongst those who are left behind. And I think if we did a study of church and its practices in this country, or perhaps even worldwide, we would see many, many people who claim to be Christians but are not living a Christian life. We flatter sometimes to deceive. But mostly, I think such people deceive themselves. So what is the Christian life? Well, firstly, I believe we're called to four things. The first one is to love God. The second one is to obey God. The third one is to serve God. And the fourth one is to trust God. And we're to do those four things wholeheartedly. And I believe that we will know within ourselves whether we are doing those things wholeheartedly. And if we're not, we need to take steps to just do them. They're not costly things in terms of our wealth. They may be costly with our time and the things that we do. But I think they're things that are achievable for all of us, to love God, to obey God, to serve God, and to trust God implicitly. Jesus said, doesn't he? He said, trust God, trust me also. And I think that's a big thing for me. Sometimes, you know, when we're making our plans and thinking what's our next move, they become our plans and our next move. But actually, we need to trust God and trust him that he will already know and he will tell us at the right time the things that we must do. We struggle with that, and I believe most people here would also. We try to go ahead of God. We even try to help God. but it doesn't bring us anywhere really. So what else is the Christian life like? Well, Jesus tells us the cost of being a disciple. If you look in Luke 14, you'll see that. And I find that a challenging passage. And I think if you were to read it, it would challenge you also. Jesus gives us teaching about kingdom life in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 to 7. If you read those things, again, they can be very challenging. They're not just for those days, they are also for these days, because the Word of God is never ending. The Word of God is the same. You know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to just read those things in our Bibles and take note of them and see what we need to do to change the way we live our lives and to just be real disciples of God. Amen? Amen. And then a real Christian will show obedience. And I guess the most famous passage there is the Great Commission. Go into all the world, make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have commanded you. That applies to us also. You know, and if we call ourselves Christians, that Great Commission applies to us as well. And we all need to do something about it. It's not just for Mike or for Matt or for the elders or for the deacons. It's for everyone in the church to address those things. As I said earlier, I think if Christ returned today, many of us would be found wanting. So in this story about Jacob, it's about deception. But you know, once we've received what we're going to gain through deception, are we ever satisfied? Or do we want to carry on deceiving until we get more? I don't know. Because sometimes I think when you've gained something through deception, even if you've deceived yourself, something has a habit of leaping up and slapping you about the face. It comes back to I won't say haunt you, because that's the wrong word, but it comes back to where it should have been in the first place. And the story of Jacob teaches us that full well as well. Because having what is not ours, is that really a blessing? I don't think so. We cannot take through deception and then not keep looking over our shoulder. And what Jacob took by deception, which was his father's blessing, which should have been Esau's, actually he became distinctly unblessed. What happened? If you read later in the story, Esau, it says in chapter 27, verse 41, Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." And this is interesting, actually, because Esau thought that his father's days were numbered. Jacob thought his father's days were numbered. And Isaac thought his own days were numbered. But actually, after he'd given that blessing, he lived for about another 50 years. You know? So, there are two things here. You know, you'll remember that Jacob had also taken Esau's birthright. Do you remember that story? Esau came in from the fields, out from hunting. He obviously hadn't caught anything, but he said, "I'm starving. I'm hungry. Give me something to eat. Give me some of that lentil stew, that lovely lentil stew that you're making." And Jacob said, "Only if you give me your birthright." What a strange reply. It goes to show what a scheming, deceiving man Jacob actually was. And so Esau signed over his birthright to Jacob for lentil stew and a piece of bread. Can you imagine that? I think Esau was a man who just lived for the moment. Now, if that had been me, I think I'd have said, "Well, maybe, but it would take a T-bone steak. It would take mushrooms and onion rings and a big pile of chips." And that would have been the bottom line. But Esau, well, the Bible says he despised his birthright. And so that went to Jacob. And so Jacob thought he'd got the birthright, which meant he got a double portion of the inheritance. He became head of the family and all the kudos and entailed. But what he didn't know, even after he'd stolen the blessing, that he was going to have to wait another 50 years. But even then, I think he lost the blessing, because his mother heard Esau saying she was going to kill Jacob, and so she advised Jacob to run. And Jacob did run. He ran all the way to Haran, where his grandfather Abraham had come to Canaan from. And he went to Haran, and he stayed there for 20 years with Rebekah's brother, whose name was Laban. And if you read the story, you will see in that family, he was another deceiver. So Jacob worked 7 years for his first wife Leah, and another 7 years for his second wife Rachel. And even then, Laban had deceived him into marrying Leah. And then he worked another 6 years for the flocks that he was able to build up. So he spent 20 years in Haran. And I don't think that was too much of a blessing for him. Because you see, when he left the family home to run, he was 70. So I'm not sure if he would have run there or just sort of ambled up country. He went with nothing. He lost his family. He never saw his mother alive again. His mother, the closest person to him. He had to run and leave his mother, and he never saw her alive again. That's not blessing, is it? It's not blessing at all. So Laban deceived him. Jacob worked among the flocks. He didn't stay among the tents. But with those flocks, he was good. He was very good. And those flocks and those herds, they increased. But time and time again, he was deceived by his father-in-law, and I guess his uncle, Laban. But you know, in that time, in that 20 years, out there with the flocks and the herds, perhaps that's a time where he came to know God more and more. You know, what is there to do when you're looking after the flocks than perhaps at times just to sit and listen to those things that God puts into your mind? And I believe in that 20 years, although he may not have come to a real personal relationship with God, he did hear God speak to him. And in fact, after 20 years, God did speak to him. And he said, "Go back to Canaan. Go back to your father's house." And so he made all those preparations. I'm not going to go through them now. You can read them for yourself in Genesis. around Genesis 31, 32, 33. That's a good story if you read that. So what was going to happen here? Well, Jacob was about to receive the real blessing in his life. And it wasn't through deceit. It wasn't even an earthly blessing. It was through the promise of God. And that's where we will receive the real blessing, is through the promise of God. We won't receive a real blessing through any person, be it our earthly fathers, anybody else. We will always receive our true blessing through God. In fact, just before Jacob fled the family home, his father prayed this blessing upon him. And it's in chapter 28, starting at verse 3. Isaac said, "May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful, and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessings given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land God gave to Abraham." So that was the real blessing pronounced upon him. Words that Isaac spoke to him, Isaac, his father, spoke to him, that had been given by God. That was the blessing that was always intended for Jacob. So after these 20 years, God called Jacob back to Canaan. The time of blessing was near. And as we know, it was God's blessing. You know, I sometimes wonder, Abraham started up in Haran. He lived there for 25 years. God called him down to Canaan. And then Jacob fled to Haran. And after 20 years, God said to him, "Go to Canaan." I wonder if there was a point where God said, "Actually, I'm going to start this process again. And I'm going to bring Jacob down to the land. And through his 12 sons, we will establish the nation of Israel." I wonder if that's what happened. Because you see, the real blessing, Jacob found his real blessing back in Canaan, where he should have been all along. He found his real blessing where God put him. You know, it's true to say we are each unique. God has a blessing that is just for us. Isn't that amazing? God has a blessing that is just for each one of you. And if we listen to God, I believe that we will just know where God wants us to be to receive that blessing. You know, it may not mean moving from where you are now, but it may mean just tweaking your life a little bit so that you're in the position where God wants you to be. And that's when you will receive the blessing. We don't have to pretend, like Jacob, to be somebody else. He wanted to be like his brother so he could steal the blessing. But actually, that blessing was no blessing at all to him. The only blessing he eventually received was through being where God wanted him to be and being who God made him to be. As I said earlier, Jacob accepted God as his God when he was about 90 years old. And what a difference. When you look back, what a difference it would have made if he had walked with God so much earlier. Is that true? I can look at my own life and I can say, I wish I'd walked with God so many years earlier. What a difference it would have made to my life. What a difference it could have made to my ministry even. But you know, even when we gain things in this life through deception, that's either deceiving ourselves or deceiving others, God can still use that experience that we have. He's used it in my life, and I believe he's used it in the life of many others. But you know what a difference it would make? I always say, if I hadn't done that and I'd known God instead. And I believe that's the same for each of us. You see, up to the age certainly of about 70 and maybe beyond, Jacob knew of God, but he never knew God. And I believe there are many of us, well, there are thousands of people out there. I think they believe that there is a God, but they don't know him. You know, that's our job, isn't it? To go out there and speak to those people and introduce them to God. Jacob deceived his father, who was blind. Well, again, I would say there's thousands of people out there in Norton Radstock that are spiritually blind, and they've been deceived by our enemy. And it's up to us to go and tell them the truth. Excuse me. That's what we're put here for. That's why we are God's church in Midsummer Norton. It's because through us, those people that are blinded spiritually and deceived by the enemy, they will not know anything about the gospel unless we tell it to them. Is that true? So it's up to us to go and help them to know God rather than just know of God. So, this is a challenge to us. Who are we trying to be today? You know, many of us model ourselves on somebody else. Are we trying to be like somebody else? Or are we trying to be the person that God made us to be? Are we seeking a blessing or some sort of blessing that the world offers? Or are we in the place where we are finding God's blessing on our lives? I would say we all need to seek God. We all need to seek his place, or our place in his plan and our place in his kingdom. And that's very difficult to do sometimes. And you know, we can only do it by actually spending time with God, spending time in his word, spending time in prayer, just speaking to him. And always remember that prayer involves listening also. It's not just throwing streams and streams of words at God, it's sitting there in the quiet, listening to what he has to say to us. And I guess Mike's done a lot of that in this last 3 months. But that's how we seek God. That's how we seek our place in his kingdom. And not only is it the best way, it's the only way. You see, Jacob brought problems upon himself. We don't need to bring problems upon ourselves. We don't need to be a people who deceive or try to be somebody else when God has made us to be unique and somebody that he has a unique plan for. We need to be in the right place with God. It took Jacob a long time to come back to where he should have stayed in the first place. But each of us also needs to know that place where we will find God and his blessing on our lives. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this word to us. It may seem a simple word to some people, it may seem a hard word to others, it may challenge us, and it's certainly a hard thing for me to bring. But Lord, I believe there are many in your churches throughout this nation and throughout the world who are deceiving themselves as to whether they are truly saved or not, or whether they are living a truly Christian life or not. And Father, I pray that now, by your Holy Spirit, you would challenge those people, Lord, not just if there are any like that here, but wherever they are, wherever they're worshipping at this moment, I pray that you would challenge them as to their Christian lifestyle. Challenge them to ask themselves, if Jesus came back now, would I be found wanting or would I be left behind? Father, you are a patient God. Jacob was always in your plan to establish your own chosen people. And over many years, you were patient with him. For all those years he did not know you, you were patient with him. And then when he came to know you, he found the blessing that only you can give. And so, Father, I pray for each one of us. And I thank you for each one of us, for your patience with us. In the times when we seem to put you on the back burner, or the times where we just dismiss you from our life altogether, Father, we know that you're still patient with us. You're still close to us when we turn to you again. Help each one of us, Lord, to be in that place where you want us to be, that you may use us as you want to use us and bless us as you want to bless us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.